The following is a presentation of the Dirt Track Channel.
Well, hi there, everybody. I'm Sean Wood, and welcome to the Sprint Car Report for Tuesday, April the 12th. Joining us today is West Coast non-wing standout sprint car and up-and-coming star Greg Alexander and Rick Selm, the founder and president of the United Rebel Sprint Series. That and more next here on the Sprint Car Report, brought to you by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, located outside of Turn 2 at the famed Knoxville, Iowa Speedway, and by the New Hampshire Motor Speedway. The IndyCar Series makes its return to the Magic Mile August the 14th, and by Kinzer Air Filters, proudly made in the USA. Back with the Sprint Car Report right after this.
The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa is the only sprint car museum in the world dedicated to promoting the future of sprint car racing and preserving the past. Located in Turn 2 of the world-famous Knoxville Raceway, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, except New Year's Day, Easter, Thanksgiving Day, and Christmas Day. Non-wing sprint cars, historic big cars, open-wheel roadsters, and wing sprinters are all on display in the museum, which also features a movie theater and the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame. Make plans now to stop by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum the next time you're in Knoxville, Iowa, or shop our museum store online at www.sprintcarstuff.com. The Hall of Fame and Museum is open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time Monday through Friday, and from noon to 5 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays and Sundays.
Welcome back to the Sprint Car Report, everybody, here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. We're going to talk a little non-wing sprint car racing right now and head out to Gardena, California, and bring on Greg Alexander. Greg, a pleasure to have you with us here on the broadcast. We heard a lot about you last week from Scott Delosio, the voice of Paris Auto Speedway, and a pleasure to have an up-and-coming sprint car driver joining us here on the broadcast.
Yeah, it means a lot. It's a great opportunity to get to talk with you and see if we can't keep going with what we're doing.
Well, Greg will be 22 years old on April the 19th, so an early happy birthday. You've had a great start to the season so far. Tell us a little bit about how you got involved in sprint car racing, and tell us about the relationship with the name Alexander and how famous that is in Southern California sprint car racing.
Well, Mark and Steve Alexander are my cousins, and they own the silver number 4 car out here on the West Coast, and Nick Foss is driving for them now, but they've had guys drive for them, you know, Ricky Gaunt, Mike Kirby, Corey Kruseman, Tony Jones, obviously all the top names out here, and I grew up helping those guys and learning everything that I could, soaking it up as like a sponge, you know, for years and years. They basically are the ones that got me started in racing, and can't thank them enough because I really love this sport and it's everything I want to do.
Did you race go-karts or quarter midgets before you got into the sprint cars?
No, I kind of just jumped right into sprint cars. That was that was it. I played around racing go-karts just as local go-kart tracks, but nothing serious. Got in a 360 sprint car in 2007 and ran our first race and finished sixth there in the main event and just kind of went from there.
That's pretty interesting because not many people will jump right into a sprint car. Normally it's the progression of quarter midgets to go-karts, maybe micro sprints, and then into sprint cars. But to jump right in, what kind of advice did your cousins give to you when you finally said, I want to get into a race car?
Well, they just told me that it's a tough sport and this stuff doesn't happen overnight. And I've seen a lot of guys start, you know, over the years, being a kid, going to the races every weekend. And I know that it's a really tough sport. I knew that if I got into a car that I could probably give it my best and just see, you know, how it went. But those guys, they helped me out, you know, when we first got going with the setting the cars up and stuff like that and giving me some advice when it came to that. And then the driving portion, I just had to learn it by going out there and getting laps. And luckily, we're able to learn enough. But we're still learning, obviously, but we've learned quite a bit.
It seems as though, from what I've read and from hearing from Scott last week here on the Sprint Car Report, You've really taken to this racing very quickly. You've adapted quite well. When you first jumped in back in 2007 to where you are now in 2011, what's some of the biggest things that you have seen that you have overcome in terms of learning how to drive a sprint car, but also learning how to get the car from the start of the race to the end of the race in one piece?
Well, the biggest thing is when I first got started in 07, I started as an owner driver, which was very lucky on my part. I had a lot of people helping me out. My aunt helped me buy an engine, and a friend of mine, Brian Williams, helped sponsor me when we got going, and we were able to start with the right equipment and get going from there. Talked with Scott Bennick a lot. We ended up picking up a roller from him back in late in 07 and the start of 08, and Scott and Brad Bennick, they taught me a ton on the shocks and the setup, and really gave me more of an understanding of how the race car works, and that seemed to help a lot for the driving aspect, because as long as I knew what the car was going to do, I could pretty much anticipate how it was going to feel with knowing how to work on it. So that definitely helped in the driving aspect.
So today, Greg, you're driving for two gentlemen, John Belagonte in the 410s and Chuck Tyler Motorsports in the 360s. How did that come about, and is it a little less pressure being a driver car owner than now just being the driver itself?
Yeah, it's definitely a little less pressure. You don't have to kind of take a look at the money aspect of it, obviously. I look more at trying to perform for those guys and get the best finishes that I can for them so that they're able to come back to the racetrack the next race. So that makes it a little easier on me, but it's getting started with, like, John Belagonte, Royal Adderson, kind of tipped him off on my name and let him know that I would be a good candidate to maybe shoot his race car, and really appreciated that, and got a call from John, and he just said, hey, I want you to drive my car, and so it kind of went from there with him. We started running pairs last year and had some decent success, you know, nothing real outstanding, but we've been making main events, and I made the first night of the Oval Nationals, which was great for an open trailer team, and then Chuck Tyler Motorsports, at the end of or at the beginning of 2009, I had to sell my equipment, and when I had to sell it, Chuck gave me a call and gave me an opportunity to possibly drive his car, and we didn't end up getting anything going until about 2010, last year. Once we got going, we had some fun last year, had a few decent races, a lot of struggles, but it's been pretty great getting to build relationships with people like Chuck Tyler and John Belagonte. They're both getting up there in age, and they're great people, so we're the only open trailer car out there. John, he puts his heart and soul into it, and he just doesn't have all the equipment or the money what other people have, and we show up to the racetrack with an open trailer with a race car on it, some fuel jugs, and a few extra spare tires, and that's all we got, but we go out there with the mentality of knowing that we're just there to try to make the show and see how good we can run and try to keep all four wheels on it, and so we can roll it back onto that open trailer at the end of the night. So it's been pretty great.
It is still pretty neat to have the open trailers out there on the scenes, because that's what I grew up on, watching the cars come into the different racetracks on the open trailers. We're talking with Greg Alexander, an up-and-coming 410 and 360 non-wing sprint car driver from Gardena, California. You turned some heads in the Sokola shootout when you had a great qualifying effort. And so far right now this season, Greg, 13th in the points in the USAC CRA division, and in the West Coast 360s, you were sitting second. What were your expectations coming into 2011? And even though it's just a few races in, what are the expectations for this season?
Well, this season, basically we're looking at running all of the Paris races with John Belagonte and just trying to gain valuable experience racing with the 410 series USAC CRA. We don't have the funds or the money to try to race every race for that series, so mainly Paris was going to be our main place to go run at and try to get experience, and then the 360, the West Coast 360 series, the USAC series out here on the West Coast, our plans were to try to race for the championship with Chuck Tyler Motorsports, and those guys, they've got a great car, and we're trying to hit every race. So far we've ran 2.5 nights. The Hanford race, the first night of the year, got postponed after the heat races, but so we'll just take it one race at a time and see what happens. Obviously it's early in the year, like you say, and just see if we can gather as much information and knowledge and laps as we can and get the experience that we need to try to win a championship.
And Greg, when you were growing up around your cousins and talking with them and learning the sport, at what age do you recall having aspirations about becoming a sprint car driver? Is this something, racing that is, that you want to do full-time? And did you have any heroes in sprint car racing when you were a kid?
Yeah, definitely. When I was growing up, you know, 4 or 5 years old, 6 years old, I was going to the races every weekend, watching those guys race, and I've been going ever since. And that's pretty much what we've done every weekend since on with my dad and that, and my cousins. And you know, a hero growing up always, you know, got Ricky Gaughan, of course, and Corey Kruseman. Those guys are just amazing race car drivers. Richard the Gas Man Griffin, that guy, I turn my hat to him every time I go and watch an old video, just remembering how great those guys are and still are, you know, and how they were back in the old years. But those guys are definitely my favorite drivers and people I looked up to as I was running or going to the racetrack and just running around as a kid.
Well, that's some heavy hitters there in the world of non-wing Southern California sprint car racing. Rest of the year, any big races that you have circled on the calendar in terms of benchmarks where you want to be at? And on the USAC CRA side, 13th in points, what are you guys going to have to do to bring that up into a top 10? And where do you think you could realistically finish this year with John and the gang at Paris Auto Speedway in the final point standings?
Well, if we can keep running the Paris schedule like we are and maybe potentially pick up some sponsors to go run some of the out-of-town races, there's no doubt in my mind that we can finish in the top 10 in points the way we've been going. Gail Forrester and Andy and Casey Jones coming on board, helping us out with the oil, and John Belagani putting a great race car underneath me. You know, I think if we keep going the way we're going, we could probably finish in the top 10 in points pretty steadily. That's how I feel on that deal.
And do I understand that some of the parts on that race car are a little bit older than you are?
Oh, yeah, quite a bit older. The rear end in the car is 27 years old, and the torque tube in the car is steel, which I know majority of the cars now are all aluminum, and the steering box in the car is probably 22, 23 years old, and the engine in the car is something that Mike English drove back, you know, 15, 16 years ago with Roy Battersby out here in the non-wing CRA and SCRA days. So it's an older piece, but it gets around the racetrack pretty good.
Hey, Greg, it sounds great. Sounds like you have a great career ahead of you, and we greatly appreciate you taking our time after a long day's work to join us here and chat on the Sprint Car Report.
Yeah, not a problem. Anytime. Definitely love to talk to people and get more exposure, and this is a great opportunity. Thank you very much.
Well, he's known as the best-kept secret in California sprint car racing. You heard it right here from him first, folks. Greg Alexander joining us here on the Sprint Car Report on thedirttrackchannel.com. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk with Rick Silm, the founder and president of the United Rebels Sprint Series. That's coming up next. You're listening to the Sprint Car Report on thedirttrackchannel.com.
The snow on the track is melting, Charlie. It won't be long now. The NASCAR boys will be back.
You're right, Pete. I can hear the engines now.
Tony Stewart, he wants the second spot. Kurt Busch would like it as well.
Winter's over at New Hampshire Motor Speedway, and it's time to get your race face on. Earnhardt, Johnson, Hamlin, Stewart, and Busch are ready to go the extra mile in the Lennox Industrial Tools 301, July 14th through the 17th. All for the right to raise the Loudon Lobster. Let's get this party started. Great weekend racing, camping, entertainment, and fast friends all weekend long at New Hampshire Motor Speedway.
It ain't over till the big gal sings, and she hasn't even begun to warm up the vocal cords yet.
Sunday tickets start at just $39. Go to NHMS.com or call 603-783-4931. It's your Speedway, New England. Now, let's go racing.
Well, welcome back, race fans, to the Sprint Car Report here on thedirttrackchannel.com. We head out to the great state of Kansas right now. We're talking with the founder and president and 30-year racer, Rick Silm. And he, of course, is the founder and president of the United Rebel Sprint Series, the 305 Sprint Series. They'll kick off their season their sixth season here in just a little bit at the Beaver County Speedway in the panhandle of Oklahoma. Rick, pleasure to talk with you, and thank you for your time to join us here on the Sprint Car Report.
Hey, Sean, appreciate you calling. I really do. Glad to talk to some of you people out there again.
Well, Rick, 305 Sprint Cars, the notion may be, well, geez, it's a 305 Sprint Car engine, and it doesn't seem like it has the horsepower that a 360 or a 410 does, but what is the misnomer now, 6 years later, that you're able to go and present to the tracks that 305 sprint car racing is just as exciting as the other forms of winged sprint car racing we have in this great country of ours?
Well, exactly. Sprint car racing, you know, is sprint car racing, period. Size of the engine doesn't make, as far as I'm concerned, isn't that big a difference. The speed, as long as they're all running the same speed, that's relevant, you know. And it's the race you put on, show you put on for the crowd, and these things are affordable. You know, we was about to lose sprint car racing out here in this part of the country just because of the cost of engines. And it's just the deal that's brought, pretty much brought the sport back out here. And we've got a real good following of cars, got a good following of racetracks. We put on a great show everywhere we go. And I'll tell you, you know, it used to be USAC, used to be 305 for years and years and years. That's where A.J. Foyt, Pernella Jones, and Mario Andretti kept their teeth, was in sprint cars with that size motor. And like I say, it's, as far as I'm concerned, speed's irrelevant. It's, as long as they're all going the same speed, it's a good show.
Rick was telling me just before we came on the air that he's been a racer for over 30 years. And as you raced, Rick, and I'd like to hear a little bit about what you raced and what different forms of racing you were in. But as you raced, at what point did you start to see that there was a need for a series such as yours that would help save sprint car racing out there in the middle part of the country?
Well, you know, it was back in the late 80s, basically. I'd kind of moved. I'd raced out there in Pennsylvania. Everything was pretty much 410 cars. And, you know, when Emmett Hahn come out with a 360 deal, I thought it was a great deal. It was getting tough finding owners that could afford the 410s and the cost that they were doing. And it worked real well for years for Emmett. Still working real well. But they've gotten expensive as ever. And as far as what kind of cars I drove, you know, I mostly sprint cars, drove a lot of midgets, some Silver Crown cars. But basically most of my career was just running sprint cars.
And now as you guys enter into the sixth year, what's been the biggest challenge that you have overcome since season one for the United Rebel Sprint Series?
Well, like you were just saying before, a lot of it is, it's just the overall outlook of people thinking that 305s are really not a full-class race car. You know, and after a few years of running around here and the people seeing the show, seeing how exciting they are, because I'm kind of old school. I don't start my fast cars up front. We do an invert on the feature of 10 cars according to their point average. I tell you what, it makes for a lot of passing, a lot of great racing. But the biggest deal we're still overcoming it, is the word 305. A lot of people just don't consider them real race cars, but, you know, I've been around this all my life, and they're a sprint car. That's all there is to it. They put on a good show. It's the same thing that you see everywhere you go, except, you know, the people can afford them. Guys that would never, ever had a chance to run a car now have a chance to race, and promoters as well. On some of these racetracks out here, they're smaller towns, and they couldn't afford the cost of a sprint car show. And I just felt the need to bring it a little bit more affordable for everybody, not only the racers, but the promoters also.
And if a person wanted to get involved with racing with you guys in a 305 series, about how much are they looking to spend as an initial investment to get a car and be able to go racing?
Well, I'll tell you, a lot of these guys got about $10,000. I'd go out and buy them a $4,500 race car, a used car, because there's tons of them around. These other guys don't run them that many years. And go out and get a good race car. And some guys have $3,000 to $4,000 in motors. Some other guys have $8,000 to $10,000. Seems to be, though, that, you know, they all still run about the same speed. So at least everybody's out there thinking they're on the same field, and most of them, you know, are on the same playing field, because we've had, last year we had 20 different winners in the 42 shows we had last year. We got, I think, somewhere around 45 shows or something scheduled this year, but we have a lot of different winners, and like I say, a lot of close racing. And you can get in one of these anywhere from 10 to 15,000 and go racing.
That's not a bad deal. Now, you mentioned last year 20 different winners, and Ty Williams is the defending champion out of Liberal, Kansas. Tell us a little bit about Ty, and also what kind of car counts were you folks averaging last year?
Last year we averaged through the season a car count of about 24 cars per night. We had as many as 38 cars. Actually, we had more than that. Before our Hayes Nationals, the Wheat Shocker Nationals, the night before we had 42 cars in Waukini and had 40 in Hayes that weekend. So like I say, and I've got that region in Colorado that's just getting started out there. And they were down, you know, they're about 15 cars as a rule, but they're up to probably 20, 25 cars this year, and they should be able to do fine on their own. So, like I said, we've got about, close to 80 to 90 cars registered, and it seems to grow every year just a little bit. We had a big spurt about the third year. I think we went from about 30 cars to 60 cars, and then it's gotten up to, you know, around 80 and sort of tapered off there. And Ty, you know, he was our champion last year. He's going to do some 360 racing this year, and it's kind of, he gets kind of used it as a stepping stone. He's a good little racer. He got real close to winning his first 360 race at NCRA show in Wichita last weekend. So like I say, it's a great training ground for these guys, and they can get in it for a reasonable amount of money, and if they want to move up, more power to them. That's what it's all about.
And I was just going to ask you, so far, have you had any drivers move up, or in the case of Ty, have they been noticed and maybe approached by a car owner to come run for them in a 360 deal or even a 410 deal?
Yeah, we've had several of them move up. We've had little Taylor Valasquez out of Liberal move up to the 360s. Taylor Milton out of Oklahoma moved up. We've had several of them, you know, that started or cut their teeth in this deal and then moved on up into the 360s. And as far as car owners, you know, out here in this part of the country, it's not exactly like it is out in Pennsylvania. Most of these guys own their own race cars. So, but I tell you what, little Ty Williams is a great racer. He's going to be a good one. And he's got enough financial backing to keep him up front. Like I said, he's going to be a good little racer. We've also, you know, had past NCRA champions, C.J. Johnson and Mike Woodruff and John Johnson, come down and run for us. We actually had Jason the Hitman Martin has run for us for about 4 years now. And he was a past World Outlaw racer. So they're all finding out that racing's racing, and it's all a matter of going out there and having fun.
And I think, too, they're also finding out that the race still isn't won the first lap. Although at times you have to think.
That's exactly. Well, sometimes you gotta get all you can at the beginning, but they do find out, you know, that patience is a virtue in this sport.
Yeah, A.J. Ford didn't win four Indy 500s by leading the field down the turn one the first lap, so.
No, that's exactly.
Speaking of big events, we're talking with Rick Selm, the founder and president of the United Rebel Sprint Series, but that's what we've been talking about. They do run 305 engines. Don't let that be a knock, because we do have a number of 305 series here in and around Pennsylvania. A couple of them make stops up at the Bull Ring, the Clinton County Speedway, probably Central Pennsylvania's best-kept sprint car secret. Don't let it fool you, folks. As Rick's been saying, it's a sprint car, and when they tumble just like every other sprint car does. June 3rd, Belleville, the High Banks. That place will always have a special meaning to me. It's our first ever streaming audio webcast 9 years ago this year. It's absolutely awesome. What is it like to race on that track, and what is it like to see winged sprint car racing on the High Banks at Belleville?
We run there last year. And we had three guys that went back and forth for the lead the entire race. I mean, it was a great show. We're actually going to run June 3rd there as a support class for for the World Outlaw Show, that the first one I've had there, I think, since like 1978.
Hmm.
And then in August, first weekend in August, I think it's August 3rd. I don't have my calendar right here with me, but we're going to have the Belleville 305 Nationals, which is it's going to pay $3,000 to win and $400 to start the deal, which for these guys is pretty good money. We're real excited about having that show. We really are. And Belleville, like I said, when we run there last year, we were support class to the All-Stars. And I may be partial, but I don't think so. Because I heard it from a lot of people, but we put on a lot better show. There's just a lot closer racing. It was a great race, and they come up and ask me, you know, what would it take to get 30, 35 of them cars here? And I said, give them some money, and I'm sure they'll be here.
I'm sure they'll be there as well, as that is a great place to watch a race, and it's a great little town, great people there at Belleville. And do yourself a favor, folks, if you're out there anytime for any of the events at Belleville, stop by the High Banks Museum. That is a really neat place to see some of the memorabilia they have from all the years. We're talking with Rick Salem, the founder and president of the United Rebel Sprint Series. Again, 43 dates, Rick. You also have a Kansas region, a Colorado region, and a national champion. Explain to me, how does that all work out?
Well, each region has their own points deal. You have to run 75% of each region's shows, or those are the shows that count towards the points. That way, you know, these guys, like I say, they're not all made of money. They all work for a living, and sometimes they just can't make all the shows that we go to. And I really don't want to kill their season and make it an attendance championship, should we say. So like I say, they got to make 75% of the shows, and that counts towards their regional championship. And then they take their best 25 shows overall through the whole season at any region, and count it towards a national championship. It just makes for a great format, and it's I don't know, just gives them something to shoot for, and like I say, we're kind of low dollar deal here, but the racing isn't.
Rick, two final questions for you. You mentioned earlier that you had raced in Central Pennsylvania. Where did you race? And also, is this being the sixth year of the series, what kind of goals and what would you like to look for in terms of car counts? As we still face some uncertain economic times with the cost of gasoline continuing to rise day in and day out.
Yeah, well, we do have that problem. I think that's going to be everybody's problem. No, I raced out in Pennsylvania in 1987. We raced Williams Grove, Port Royal. I drove for Clark Barger out of Lewistown, and run Port Royal, Central PA, Sealands Grove, Hagerstown, and just around there. And actually, that's a pretty tough bunch to run with all the time, I'll tell you what. But we did win a feature in Port Royal, and we're real happy we did go out there and run. I should have probably stayed there, but I moved back to Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
I still, to this day, ain't figured out why I left. You guys out there got the best racing in the country.
We try to tell that to our good friends out there in Knoxville. They just don't want to listen to us.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's anybody that doesn't believe that the racing out there is the best in the country just needs to go out and watch it one time.
We had 410s just the other week down at Sealands Grove Speedway, tore the track in the low 15-second brackets.
Yeah.
And that's getting around what, that track.
That's a pretty big racetrack.
Yeah.
Those are all pretty big racetracks out there. Like I say, that's why when the Outlaws come out there, they get their butt beat every once in a while because them guys out there fast. They're the best in the country.
Yeah. And typically, Rick, what type of tracks do you guys generally race on out there? I mean, I know Belleville's the big half mile, but what are the size of the tracks that the United Rebel Sprint Series races on?
The majority of them are probably 3/8 mile. That's what the majority tracks out here are. There's not many half miles left in this part of the country. There's Belleville, there's Norton, and a few other racetracks, but there are very few big half miles like you got out there left around this part of the country. Most of them's cut them down to 3/8. It used to be the old fairgrounds tracks that I cut my teeth on out here were big, but most of them have all cut the racetracks down about 3/8 out here. Some of them we run on quarter miles, but most of them, like I say, are 3/8 mile racetracks.
Well, Rick, it's been a pleasure to chat with you here on the Sprint Car Report, and we want to wish you guys all the best of luck for a very safe but exciting sixth season of United Rebel Sprint Series action out there in Kansas, Colorado, and Oklahoma.
Hey, Sean, I appreciate the phone call, and tell everybody out there hi for me. I miss them all, and if you ever get a chance to get back here and watch a race, let me know. We'll take care of you.
Yep, we'll work on that. Rick Selm, the founder and president of the United Rebel Sprint Series, joining us here on the Sprint Car Report. With 30 years' experience, Kinzer Air Filters is a trusted name in the racing industry. Their 360-degree dome positive charge air filter is the cleanest air filter on the market. From sprint cars and midgets to late models, drivers rely on Kinzer Air Filters as a brand they can trust while being economically affordable. It's easy to use and cleans with soap and water. To learn more, call Roger Kinzer at 812-327-7103. That's 812-327-7103 or visit KinzerDirect.com. Kinzer Air Filters, made in the USA.
This has been a presentation of the Dirt Track Channel.